Welcome to Betting 360, your number one source for horse racing and sports betting insights. Coming around the bend is your host, David Duffield, with another expert interview to give you the winning edge.
Hi, this is David Duffield, and welcome to another episode of the Betting 360 podcast. And my special guest today is Sean Callender. He's the co-founder of Monarch Media and PokerMedia.com.au, and he's got a pretty interesting background in sports betting and poker industries, and he's also got some pretty good insights to share, as he's part of what you might call a lobby group that's doing some work in Canberra in an effort to get in-play betting and online poker legalised. So he can give us an update on where things sit there and the likelihood of success. So let's have a chat with Sean. Thanks for joining me today, Sean.
David, great to be with you.
Yeah, excellent to have you on the show. And just wanted to start by letting the listeners know a little bit about your background. If you can just give us a bit of a run through of the roles you've had in the industry and the companies you've worked for and also founded.
Sure. Well, I'm a hard-working sports journalist. That's my background. Came up through the cadetship in the UK. Worked at the Croydon Advertiser in the southern suburbs of London up to the Daily Mail. When I came back to Australia, I worked for the Fairfax Group for a number of years. And then lastly, with the Australian Football League, I worked on the Footy Record, which was a bit of a dream job, as you can imagine. And so spent three very satisfying years there. And in 2006, along with my now business partner, Stephen Doig, we decided to go out on our own. And you know, Stephen's background in management and mine in publishing, we formed our own publishing business called Monarch Media. And early on, we identified that there was an opportunity in the game as poker was starting to take off. There was no real poker media here to speak of, and we found it was a niche big enough for us to operate a small business, but not big enough that there was a lot of competition. So over the past 7 years, that business has served us really well. We set up Bluff Australasia magazine, which we merged in with an international organisation called Poker News. And yeah, things were flying along in that area until we had some legal pressures due to the way the Interactive Gaming Act is structured. But we sort of maintain a commitment to poker going forward. We've gone off into other areas now, but it's always going to be very close to our hearts, and you know, hopefully we can make a go of it again soon.
Yeah, you mentioned the legal pressures and the legislative changes. Do you want to just expand on that a little? Because I think a lot of our guys who are racing and sports may not be aware how quickly the landscape changed.
Well, you know, the poker industry is, to start with, it's incredibly diverse. It's, you know, the guys who play at home, it's people who play in pub and club leagues around the country, which, you know, number in the hundreds of thousands. It's, you know, playing cash games or tournaments in casinos, and for a lot of people it's playing online. So it's an incredibly diverse industry, and as such it makes it difficult to sort of pull it all under one umbrella. But from a business point of view, the most relevant piece of legislation for us is the IGA, or the Interactive Gaming Act, and under which it's illegal for offshore providers to offer their services to Australian customers, but it's not illegal for Australian customers or players to play on these sites. And as you can imagine, it's a difficult space to operate in. The offshore sites do offer their services illegally. They don't pay any taxes or profit turnover fees or anything like that to the Australian government. As such, the players here don't have the protection that other punters have in, you know, through corporate sports books or TABs. So it's a very tricky piece of legislation that's now vastly outdated, as you know, technologies have advanced over the past 12 years since the laws were brought in. You know, our major focus now is, you know, looking at that IGA and looking at ways that it can be brought up to date to look after everyone. It's got to work for the players and it's got to work for the operators, but where it's been a very long road to hoe, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you're right there at the coalface now. Would you describe, you know, a lot of your current activities as basically a lobby group? I know you spend a bit of time in Canberra.
Look, it's really difficult to define because, you know, from the perspective of the casinos don't really care. You know, they're obviously covered by state laws and they do have arm's length involvement with the online sites through running satellites for tournaments and such, but you know, they're not a major player in a lobbying space. And of course the offshore operators aren't in a position that they can lobby actively because they're breaking the law. So we've over the years built a relationship within the Department of Communications, Broadband and the Digital Economy. It's a bit of a mouthful. And certainly at a departmental level, they're sensible people. You know, I think that they can see the inequities in the way the laws are structured. You know, there's a probably, I think up to about $800 million a year goes offshore in terms of, you know, illegal books, online casino, online poker. So there's a great revenue base there for a government to certainly get a hold of and explore. So that's really the angle we've been taking, is that, look, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have online poker accounts in Australia. It's widely recognised as a game of skill. So it's happening, and you're losing the revenue and the potential to harness this as an industry. And from our side of it, we see that from a business point of view, there's great opportunities if it is legalised. So that's really the basis of our discussions. Where you run into a bit of a brick wall is when you go into the ministry, and you know, then you're dealing with politicians who, as we know, depending on the prevailing wind, can change their minds pretty readily. Some of the commentary that came out before the election in the poker circles was widely inaccurate and unnecessarily alarmist, that, you know, the coalition were going to come in and basically black ban it, and that's just simply not the case. I think it's a long way down the list of priorities for them, and you know, we've positioned ourselves that when we do get a hearing, and we're confident we will get a good hearing quite soon, that we can put forward a really strong case. And you know, basically the reasons that I outlined, that there's a, you know, we estimate that it's probably worth up to about $80 million a year in terms of revenue for the country, and you know, that's not to be sneezed at. It's and done properly and with a proper, you know, liquidity in the player pools and properly structured and regulated, I think it could be a really important and healthy part of the gaming landscape in Australia.
And just to give people an idea of what you're up against at times, tell us about the time, I think it was a politician or an advisor possibly, was fairly aggressive towards you before you'd even had a chance to speak at a meeting, and just advertises ignorance about what little understanding he had.
Well, this example gives you an idea of what we're up against, and it was actually the first trip we made to Canberra, and we'd spent the morning with the guys in the department, and you know, which I said has been really fruitful right the way through, and we met a couple of members of the ministry in the afternoon, and one of them had a copy of our magazine and slammed it down on the desk and said, you know, how do you live with yourself by promoting these machines? And we sort of looked at each other and said, well, how do you mean machines? And he said, oh, isn't your magazine about poker machines? So we had to get out a deck of cards and explain to him, you know, what it was that we were about and the differences. But, you know, that's the level of intelligence, but the level of difficulty that you can have sometimes in talking to people, and that's another example of just something as simple as you go to the US and poker machines are called slot machines, and whereas in Australia the connotation of poker and poker machines is very closely connected, and something as simple as that can make our job so much harder. So there've been some battles, but I think over the last two or three years we've been able to educate the key people, and so they know what we're about now.
Fair enough. And what's the process from here? What needs to happen for online poker to be legalised? And also just touch on the in-play aspect, because
sure,
most people listening to this would be sports punters, and we've been waiting a long while for in-play to be legalised, and it's always been close but not close enough. So just talk us through here what needs to happen and how that affects in-play.
Well, look, I suppose the lobbying efforts and how the process plays out in the political sphere are two different things, but you know, we'll just keep the lobbying efforts up. You know, we'd certainly like to get before Minister Turnbull and you know, and run through the opportunities with him and get you know, just to get the ball rolling with the new government. As I said before, it's, you know, it's a long way down the list of priorities for them. And you know, gambling doesn't play too well in certainly getting elected. But once you're in there, I think you know, we've got, as I said, some good arguments in terms of the revenue base there. So from that point of view, we'll just keep ticking along. The big change is going to come with when the new Senate comes in July of next year. So it will no longer be a hostile Senate in terms of the number of the Greens and Labor members in there. We've got a meeting coming up early next year with the Palmer Party and with Mr. Palmer. And that'll be interesting because they are one group that aren't on the record in terms of where they stand on issues related to gambling at a federal level. And so with their support, theoretically, the numbers would exist in the Senate and we should be able to make some of these advancements. In terms of the in-play betting, it would seem if there was reform to the Interactive Gaming Act that it would all be sort of put together into the one bill. So I think at that time when things like online poker do come up for consideration, that logically the restrictions on other parts of the industry through that act would be addressed at the same time. So I think, you know, not to say that it's you know, certainly over the line, but I know that the you know, some of the key players, the likes of William Hill, are in there lobbying very hard at the same time, and so I'm sure that they'll make their case. And when we get to a point we can get a bill before the parliament, hopefully we're in reasonably good shape.
So, if you're a betting man, Sean, what would you set the under over as far as the time frame goes?
Oh, gee, betting on what politicians think can be a dangerous thing. I'm pretty bullish, David. I'd say probably about $1.60 favourite that will get this over the line at some point. It mightn't be at the first shot, but I just think, you know, it's a no-brainer. It's you know, it's a revenue that's being lost to the country in one sphere, and it's a revenue opportunity in another. So I think like to think that the coalition guys will be a little bit more pragmatic when it comes to that presentation, and we can work through the issues of, is it going to be perceived as more gambling in the landscape of gambling in Australia? Well, it is, but at the same time, it's already happening. So I'm confident that we'll get there at some point.
All right. So to move on from legislative stuff, just about poker as a game, you know, it's renowned as a mix of maths and luck and psychology. What is it about the game that appeals to you?
Look, I suppose it really goes back to, I suppose, my days living in England, where, you know, card nights as part of the pub community were pretty common, and so, you know, it's something I hadn't really grown up with. But just before I came back to Australia, a show called Late Night Poker came on in the UK, and I think the appeal of it was, I equate it a bit to golf, is it's very easy to learn the basics, but it's a game that you can never really master because there's enough luck in it that'll keep you on your toes, but it is a genuine game of skill at the end of the day. You know, on that basis, you know, you can play with mates, you can play online, you play at the top end of the professional side of things, and it's just a great challenge, and, you know, it can be something you don't have to take terribly seriously, but if you want to get serious about it, there's some great opportunities there. And yeah, I just think it's a great challenge for people. You know, you can see a lot of sportsmen go into it after they retire, and because it's got that real strong competitive element to it, and it's just a great game to play.
Have you watched Warnie play? Is he any good?
I have watched Warnie play on a number of times, and it's interesting. You know, I've caught up with him a few times in Vegas, and of course none of the Americans have any idea who he is, and you'll sit down at a table with a random, you know, Aussie or South African or Pom, and you're like, oh, Warnie's here. But I think where he struggled in his early days in poker is he was only playing in the very biggest, hardest tournaments. And so it probably took a while for him to get his head around it. But I know he has, you know, a lot of home games, and through his involvement with the 888 guys, he hosts a lot of tournaments and certainly plays online when he can. So he's far from the worst. He's you know, improved dramatically over the past few years. He's got a good relationship with Joe Hashem, and you know, he works very hard on his game with Joe. And yeah, Warnie's a great example of a sportsman who, you know, just likes that competitive edge that comes with poker, and can never quite get on top of it, but you know, is able to mix it up with the best players in the world.
Yeah, what do the best players in the world have in common, and what makes someone like Joe Hashem a world champ?
It's a really tough question, and you know, we've come across, you come across all types of poker. You know, there's guys that are incredibly wealthy who, you know, have the bankroll that they can sit down in massive cash games, and then you get, you know, guys who are just who are gamblers and treat poker as such, and you get then you get guys like Joe who is brings a real strict methodology and mindset to it. And you know, I don't consider Joe to be a gambler at all. He, you know, he's conservative by nature. You know, family man. He's got four kids, and so you do come across all types, but there's certainly a mix of the real hardcore gamblers who, you know, will burn through their bankroll once every 6 months and start over again, and or you get people that come out of business with a lot of money who have a more dedicated and just a safer mindset about playing the game. So you really do come across all types, and you know, ages, different ages, young kids coming out of the online poker to the old guys have been playing Manila since I arrived in Australia, and you know, men, women, young guys coming out of pub poker who mix it up with the best. So it's one great thing about it that, you know, you don't, there's no restrictions in playing the game. You know, you can come from any background and level of skill and still challenge yourself.
Good stuff. All right, we'll leave it there for now, and appreciate your contribution today and also for the AFL this year. A lot of guys gave us plenty of good feedback on the write-ups and the analysis there, and for the lobbying work that you're doing, both for online poker and for in-play. I'm sure you've got a lot of guys wishing you all the best and that you achieve the success there, because that'll be a win for all of us.
Yeah, and you know, certainly, you know, keep you in the loop as best as possible. But in the mainstream media, you don't often get a real good indication of what's going on, and most of it tends to be pretty negative. But yeah, there's a lot of people in there batting hard, and yeah, hopefully we can get it over the line.
Yeah, it's a lot more positive outlook than most other stuff we hear, so yeah. I'm sure everyone will be happy to hear that.
Good stuff, Dave. Thanks for your time.
Right. Thanks, Sean. See you.
Thanks for tuning in to Betting 360. Get more in-depth analysis, tips, and that betting edge by heading over to championpicks.com.au, where you'll find a full transcript of this episode. If you like the show, share us with a fellow punter or drop by iTunes to leave us your thoughts. Betting 360, punting from all angles.